This episode is sponsored by the Catholic Financial Planners Network. More later in the show. How does a Catholic approach to money differ from Dave Ramsey's? Find out in this series on the Catholic Money Show. Today, we're talking about debt, debt, and debt.
I am looking forward to this episode.
I'll say.
As you talked about in our intro, we're going to be tackling a hot topic. Debt, debt, and more debt.
Debt, 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 debt. Sounds like the beginning of our marriage.
Our story begins. We were in debt. And actually, that is how we found Dave Ramsey. Because we wanted to get out of debt. And I think a lot of people associate Ramsey Solutions Financial Peace University with becoming debt-free, living debt-free, debt-free, insert here, you know, whatever it is. His brand has a reputation for getting people out of debt, staying out of debt, and then living without debt for the rest of their life.
Not a bad thing.
Not a bad thing. Not a bad thing. But I would say like the word debt and him go hand in hand together.
Sure.
And so that it's interesting that we're going to go ahead and tackle this topic. Because we didn't really know there was more to the conversation when we first were introduced to these concepts many years ago. And we did pay off our debt on August 15th, 2012 now, a while back. And we have not taken on any new debt since our mortgage, except our mortgage in that time.
Yeah.
So we're continuing to live without it. So there's plenty of things that we're similar on in our stance about debt and our utilization of it. But we also have some differences that have kind of come up over the years that we've been able to distinguish. And just understanding more of a Catholic perspective around this topic, instead of just grabbing, you know, three or four Bible verses and then saying that's the whole stance against debt, it's just not enough of a picture. There's more to the story, more angles to consider.
Yeah. So let's consider.
Let's consider
I'd say the first thing let's talk about, maybe this isn't necessarily a difference between what we would believe and what Dave believes, but the question of, is debt sinful? Is being in debt a sin? Is someone owing you money a sin? What's going on there? Mm-hmm. I think I want to clear that up.
Right, because sometimes people think that, yeah, this is now a moral issue I need to go confess in the confessional. Maybe. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. But in general, no. Not necessarily. This is not, you're not in mortal sin because you had a credit card. Again, there's some specific circumstances, possibly it could be. And we'll get into that in a little bit. But overall, I think our stance is similar to Dave in that if you look at scripture and you look in other church documents that we have over the years, it's just generally unwise and imprudent to take on debt, especially the way that debt has been marketed to us in our culture, because it's very much consumeristic, lifestyle-based debt, and not maybe how debt has been used historically in the past. It's very much now, I want this and I'm getting it. Or, you know, I want to live a certain way and so I'm going to make ends meet using this credit card, etc. It's that type of marketing that's pushing debt products more often than not nowadays.
Yes. It's the old phrase, what is it? When you have a hammer, every problem looks like a nail. Where debt is a tool. It's a financial tool that can be used to pull money from your future into your present. Sometimes that's a tool that you would use. But I think these days we've got people reaching for that tool all the time.
Way more often than they ought not to. Yes. Yeah. And so that brings us to that conversation of, you'll hear it online or on TikTok, the differences between good debt and bad debt. And some people will tell you, well, this guy's definition of good debt, I'll say is bad. And that guy's definition of bad, I'd say is good. But really then both of them are trying to sell you something. oftentimes. So what really is, what are we proposing here as productive debt versus unproductive debt? I think those are more fair terms when we're actually going to look at this conversation. So where would we be similar to Dave in this respect?
Well, one thing that you can see very easily by looking at our financial phases and money milestones in the Wallet One method or Dave's baby steps is that there's mortgages listed on there and that they're listed separately from the other debt. So we've got our get out of debt step that we recommend people do. We, as in, I guess, us and Dave, that's a step in our systems. And then the pay off your mortgage is another step somewhere else.
Several layers down.
Yes, they're not the same place in your journey because they are two different types of debt, right? The one is what we would say is maybe more productive debt. A house, you know, when you buy the house, it usually, most places, most circumstances, blah, 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 most of the time, it carries its value forward into the future. Our house.
And it grows in value.
Yes.
As well.
Our house will be worth, you know, when you take into account inflation and blah, 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 our house in 15 years, when we've paid off the mortgage, will be worth probably about the same or maybe even more than it was when we bought it. Mm-hmm. So that's a good thing.
Most often, yeah. Even taking into account the amount of money you paid in interest on the mortgage, you will still likely have made money on your house when you went to sell it.
Yes.
And so that is a productive debt that you've taken on to kind of that pull that money into your present moment so that you could have this home. And then it was working for you silently in the background, going up in value. So as you sunk money into it, it was kind of holding it there for you, ready to bring it back to you, oftentimes in a higher amount than you even tucked away inside of the four walls of your home.
Yes.
Ideally, that's how it works out. Of course, there can be circumstances and situations where it doesn't happen that way. You buy a home and then you go, you have to sell it 18 months later, et cetera. There's always exceptions to the rule, but by and large, that's kind of how it goes. And that, you know, it's an asset that continues to go up in value for you, even after you pay off the mortgage. You know, it's still going to keep going up in value. You just don't owe anything else on it. And that can be a pretty great thing for you and your wealth building journey in your entire life. Versus, let's juxtapose that with maybe some unproductive.
Sure.
Debt.
Other things. Most other consumer goods. so you see there's, you know, car loans.
Something
car
going down in
certainly
value.
Is a great, a car is a prime example of something that you buy it, especially if new, and then it just goes down in value over time. Even if you buy it used, it goes down in value. So while you're continuing to pay for it through, you know, repaying your loan, its value is going down, unlike the house, which is holding or growing in value most of the time. So this is, again, it's a bad use of it because now instead of, you know, the house growing over time or at least holding steady, you know, in, with inflation and all that, makes that loan a whole lot less expensive, if not a moneymaker. When the thing is going down in value and you're paying extra in the interest payments in order to have it now, well, now you're just, your thing's getting more and more and more and more expensive and you're never going to, it's never going to turn around for you. So financially, it's just not a good move to take out a loan for something that goes down in value. Now that, sure, a car is really easy to think about, but then also, you know, using that Apple card to buy the computer, not paying it off. That is also not good. That computer is going to go down in value. That outfit's going to go down in value. That almost everything else that you buy is going to go down in value.
Yep. So other examples would be rushing into college, not really knowing what you want to study. And you're not working a job. You're not applying for scholarships. You're just taking out free money, aka student loans. And you change your mind five times and you don't have a real solid plan about what you want to do. You don't feel particularly called towards anything. You haven't discerned what it is that God's wanting you to study. This is just not a productive use of a student loan. It's just not. Could there be a productive use? Sure. And we'll talk about that in a bit. But almost 9 times out of 10, this is a very unproductive use of debt. And it should be avoided and not done at all costs.
Absolutely.
Another one would just be the prime example, right? I see it in moms groups all the time of like, we're going to Disney World. I'm putting it on the credit card. You know, to heck with the payments, or, you know, we'll deal with it when we get back. We just need this once in a lifetime trip. But then it ends up hamstringing them for the next 2 years.
Once and a lifetime. Once you did it and once and you pay it for a lifetime.
Pretty much. And now they're just saddled with paying for this trip long after the memories have worn off. Maybe you have some nice pictures to look back on, but that's typically how those types of things are done. And they just kind of drag and haunt you. And if you compound one or two or three or four of these lifestyle things on top of each other that were once in a lifetime opportunities, now all of a sudden you're barely keeping up with the minimums. And again, it's you pulled the money from your future to right now, but in the process, you stalled out your present moment because you clogged up all of your income with obligation, and then you can't really get ahead, and now even your future is now stunted.
You've taken too much from the future.
Yes, exactly. So it was imbalanced, and most often the time, that's kind of where it goes and what's being marketed to us. All right, so
those are all things.
We agree.
Between, if you talk to Dave, you talk to us, you'd hear pretty much the same.
So where are the disagreements?
Well, I'd say one disagreement, again, it's in this understanding of debt, in that it's not this bad thing to avoid. I mean, I've heard, you know, Dave will say it in a way of like, you know, debt is, this is a paraphrase, but so it's not going to be exactly what he might say, but it's something along the lines of how debt is bad and we need to avoid it, but I won't get mad at you about a mortgage because I understand, hey, houses are expensive or whatever. It'd be great if you could buy it without one. But so it's kind of like an exception instead of it comes out of this understanding that it's really kind of a different use of the debt.
Yeah, so the mindset can be like, well, Dave allowed me to do that one, but he doesn't allow me to do any other. Yeah, yeah. And then you can get paralyzed and really anxious and upset that you might have to use debt in a very valid scenario. And we've met people that have felt deep amounts of shame over using debt in a productive way just because it differed from Dave Ramsey. We ourselves have considered some of the following things we're going to talk about. We haven't done them. And we'll discuss why, but there are valid other ways to have productive debt outside of a mortgage.
Mm-hmm. Now, and one of them, say, would be essentially it's a lot of them come down to when there is a prudent, well thought out investment being made with that money. So this would be, you know, it's, of course, just because you're saying, it's an investment, doesn't mean you should go into debt for it.
And what you mean by that is if you're going to take the debt, you're assuming the thing you're going to use it for is going to create more income or revenue than the debt cost.
Yes.
And so you're going to make money by taking it out. Mm-hmm. This concept has been popularized by Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Is that Robert Kiyosaki? Mm-hmm. He takes it to a massive extreme. And so notice the words that you said at the beginning, prudent, well thought out. I think that there's the Dave camp and then there's the Rich Dad Poor Dad camp that they've gone to two extremes here. Mm. One is like debt is the worst. And then the other camp is like debt's the best thing in my life. Gimme more debt. And what is missing, I think, is in really the Catholic stance is that virtuous middle of can we just see this in the right light? Mm-hmm. Can we see unproductive debt for what it is and avoid it? And can we see productive debt and actually utilize it responsibly?
Mm. That's the key term, doing it responsibly. So this would be, you know, this is all made up numbers. Let's say we're getting a rental property and the mortgage is going to be $1,000 a month. And we, through all this research and forecasting and blah, 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 pretty dang certain it's going to be bringing in $1,500 a month or $2,000 a month. Well, that's going to cover the $1,000 mortgage and make money on top of it. So we're going to be making more money doing this with the debt than if we weren't doing it and avoiding the debt.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really the big idea here. So this could be rental properties or rental, you know, RVs or
the one we've talked about.
Investing in just, you know, vetted businesses. I mean, this is in some ways how most of the unbelievably successful companies in the world have started.
Almost none investors of them have done it debt-free.
Come in with a bunch of money. So they're kind of, they're taking in this extra money that's not theirs. And then a return comes another day. Mm-hmm. It's also certainly maybe a way some of many of the companies you've never heard of because they went out of business have started too. Right. So not a guarantee, but
it's not. And I think that, you know, Dave Ramsey's story is that he started off a little bit more on the other camp. He was utilizing a ton of debt to get rental properties and he got in over his head and then they began to call the loans in the 80s. And then he had to go through bankruptcy. And so I understand how he got to his standpoint. Mm-hmm. But I also think, you know, a lot of his followers, as they want to begin building wealth, they might have more of that middle class, maybe a little upper middle class income, and they're really trying to get momentum and build wealth, but they are not ever going to be able to save up cash for that first rental property. There's just not going to be that ability. Because they don't have a giant business paying them a really high income to be able to pay cash for those properties as Dave has done through his empire that he's built. Mm. That's why it's so easy for him to now pay cash for rental properties. If you don't have a high income, a lot of times you need to take and you should not feel shame over taking a mortgage for a rental property. Mm. Again, as long as you have a prudent plan in place and it's well thought out. Mm-hmm. You've talked about forecasting, you've done your due diligence, you've talked to other people in the business. You know, personally, one of our metrics or rules to doing something like this is, all right, well, what if nobody rented it? Could we actually float the payment without destroying our family? If the answer is yes, well then it's more than prudent for you to go ahead and do this because you're not going to have zero occupancy forever. Mm-hmm. But could you do it and it would just be tight? Okay, fine. You're probably fine to go ahead and pursue that. And so as long as this is something that wouldn't wreck you, you've done your due diligence, you know how you're going to earn money, you know how you're going to market, you know how you're going to, you know, you've learned the ins and outs. We're not just winging it. Nobody mishear me and say, the Texeras just said get a rental property and then you go buy one next week. No, this is like you have to put in months to years of like studying this to actually be able to lift off. And a lot of these companies you talked about who get the investors who come mm-hmm. in, those investors force those founders to really do the market research, get dialed in, vet and prove this product, maybe show how it sells locally before we're going to go ahead and do a mass production nationally. If you watch Shark Tank, you see the same thing. You see the same exact concept. And it's all geared around trying to use debt in a productive way that could be blessing that the person who's running the business and also possible investors that may be involved as well. Mm-hmm. There is a productive way that you could do it. It often takes a lot of due diligence and prudence. But, you know, that's how Catholics shine in our handling of money is we're always trying to bring virtue to it. Mm-hmm. And so we do have some differences there that it's okay for you to sometimes take on productive debt if you're looking for some of these other opportunities. And also those other opportunities will then grow your income, allowing you to then assess and take on more opportunities. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you just need to get the ball rolling with one of those types of things, vet it, get it, learn the whole process, understand it, and then repeat, wash, rinse, rinse, and repeat over and over again. Sorry, I couldn't get that out without screwing that up.
Yeah, another thing I think that's good to keep in mind, you'd mentioned this idea of, okay, well, if there was a month where nobody booked on Airbnb, would we be ruined or anything? Another good little test, and this is found in an old missal, an old examination of conscience, said, a question to ask yourself when you're preparing for a confession. It says, did I ever enter into debt beyond my power of repayment? So that's a really good question there, because right, you enter into debt. The agreement that happens there is, okay, you pay for whatever and I'm going to pay you back. This is our agreement. But if you are now beyond your ability, you're beyond your power to repay, well, now you're breaking that agreement. You're breaking your word. In a sense, you're lying. You're acting falsely toward the other party there who mm-hmm. covered your purchase. So that's definitely a good way to look at this, and knowing that, yes, again, kind of the answer at the beginning of the episode, is debt a sin? Well, it's kind of, in some ways, maybe similar when we look at gambling. Games of chance, the catechism tells us, are not sins in and of themselves. When they get to a point where it gets in the way of our ability to provide for ourselves and for those we take care of,
it is
a problem. Mm-hmm. It is a sin.
Yep.
And so when the debt gets in the way, or it gets to such a level where we can't take care of it anymore, yes, that's no good.
Mm-hmm. And then I would say, even this question, it would certainly apply to unproductive debt. Unproductive debt, this is not something that really anybody should be considering or pursuing. But even productive debt, entering into productive debt beyond your means of repayment, you have to balance that risk carefully with the demands of your vocation and your risk tolerance ability in life. And so this really is a telling question that helps people to kind of cut through the noise, if you will, and all the numbers and maybe the adrenaline and the excitement, and actually ask yourself, you know, if this didn't pan out, are you beyond your ability to repay here? And how quickly does this need to turn around? You know, if we're going to go ahead and get an RV rental, this is a question the Texeras have asked ourselves. You know, how quickly do we need to turn that thing around to actually be profitable? You know, at this moment with a newborn, we're not going to be able to do that quickly enough. Mm-hmm. And so it's not the right season. Whereas a year from now, that could be a completely different conversation, because maybe there's more bandwidth to turn something around in a time frame that would be well within our abilities to go ahead and make this a profitable rental that would repay appropriately without harming our family. Mm-hmm. And that's well within our discernment to choose and decide.
Mm-hmm. All right. At the beginning of our episode, we said we were going to talk about debt. Well, before we move on to the next two debts, we'll have a quick message from our sponsor. I'd like to introduce you to our sponsor, the Catholic Financial Planners Network. CFPN financial advisors prove that you can make great investment returns by doing wonderful things with your money. These advisors are not just numbers people. They're faithful Catholics who actively improve the finances of their clients. They help you make wise financial decisions that benefit you and reflect our values of stewardship and charity. To find an advisor who shares your financial and spiritual values, follow these steps. 1. Search CFPN's growing directory of certified financial planners. 2. Discuss your goals and values with a few potential advisors and find one you'll love working with. 3. Begin and start walking towards a brighter future for you and your family with the right advisor by your side. Whether it's saving for retirement, funding education, or navigating taxes, they're here to support you every step of the way. Visit CatholicFinancialPlanners.com to learn more about how CFPN can help you reach your goals while staying true to your values. That's CatholicFinancialPlanners.com.
Welcome back to this episode where we are talking about debt, and more debt, and the differences that we have as Catholics from Dave Ramsey and his approach against debt, his very firm stance against debt. Now, one of the earliest comments that we got in running our business WalletWin, I would say it was a repeat comment that first year and a half that we were in business, was just people thanking us because we were so kind and loving and positive whenever they would come to us with questions or needing counsel or needing coaching or instruction around something, clarity, etc. They just felt like it was such a good interaction and such a positive one that they were thanking us, because many of those people early on had been in the Ramsey camp, if you will, trying to make some headway against their debt and get a plan going. And some of them had even called in, and they were berated. They were humiliated. They felt like losers. They were called losers. And they just felt so deeply ashamed that they wanted to thank us for taking a different stance. And I'm not here in this point to just drag Dave down. Mm-hmm. But I do want to say that just as Catholics, we take it very seriously that we are to be charitable to everyone we encounter, even to those who have made mistakes, maybe especially to those who have made mistakes and are beating themselves up already enough. And what they don't need is for me to grab them by the neck, put their head, you know, down into their mess and make them smell it and look it up close and personal as I scream into their ear how worthless and stupid they are. No, they don't need that. They need me to help them get a little distance from this thing, acknowledge their dignity, and then help them find a productive path forward. And that's, we take that seriously. And we've always strove. Oh, man, back to the...
I don't know these words.
Which one to use, but that's what we try to do. We view this not only as a business, but really as a ministry of loving people. This is a calling in our life. We probably wouldn't have a business if we didn't feel called to run it by the Lord. And so I take it as holy ground. Anytime anybody asks me to come into their financial realm with them, I take that very seriously. And I want to love people in that space of vulnerability and treat them with respect and then help them to help them solve this problem without making them feel like they're an idiot in the process. That is something we avoid at all costs. I don't know if you have more you wanted to say to that.
Yeah, no, I mean, I was doing this just the other day on a coaching call, somebody coming in, they had a mess, you know, quite a mess, but they already knew it was a mess. And so of course I'm not avoiding any of this. I'm saying, yes, that was a very bad decision you made to go into debt for this and this and this and this. But instead of focusing on that, I'm thinking, all right, but now we both know that kind of stuff, we're done with. From here on out, we're moving in a different direction with our finance. We're going to be, you know, the kind of, you know, that's the old way of doing things. And that man is dead. And now, you know, you're being kind of resurrection of your money here and how we handle it. And so it's a very positive message. You should come away from something like this with hope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it even comes down to to parenting strategies, right? Hasn't research showed us that just shaming and screaming at our kids gets them to do the right behavior because they're scared, but they're not doing it because they want to or feel secure and they're doing the right thing for the sake of doing the right thing. That comes about through a lot more of a difficult process of walking with them, constantly correcting, constantly encouraging, praising when they do something right. And, you know, Dave can't do that with all of his callers. We can't do that with all of our students. But the brief interactions we get, we want to err on that side far more than we do on the other side. We actually we avoid the other side altogether because I really want people to stick with it and I think that the way to have someone stick with it and actually transform their life is through positive reinforcement and being motivated by something that is compelling, not just shamed out of a bad corner. That's kind of my goal.
Yep. All right.
All along the same lines, sorry, I forgot to write it down in the notes.
Ooh, bonus.
And it falls under just being charitable to those who make mistakes. And I don't want anybody to think that this is us coming at Dave again, but sometimes people, even in very public situations, cause scandal and should be called out on certain things. And this might be the one thing that I'm going to call Dave out on. And I have no shame in doing it. Dave takes the Lord's name in vain all the time. He screams at people and he takes the Lord's name in vain at them. And that is completely unacceptable. And it's something he should repent of, and he should immediately stop doing on air.
And off air. But we don't know anything about that.
No, but it causes scandal. It is a scandal to watch a Christian take the Lord's name in vain, one of the Ten Commandments, and break them publicly before other people. That is a scandal, and it shouldn't be done anymore. And so I pray for Dave for the grace to notice that. It's probably just a habit now, mm-hmm. to the grace to notice it, to be aware of it, and to break that. And he can, and I hope he does. His show would be better off without it. And so that's something you also will not hear around our neck of the woods. No. All right. What?
I love it.
Spicy, is that what you said? I hope that was kind.
No, it was very kind, honey. It was very kind. All right. So, and then this last one here is, let's talk about credit cards, credit card points. We got a question about mm-hmm. this one too. Mm-hmm. So again, if you've got questions, it's especially for this kind of an episode where we compare the two things, let us know. Email at walletone.com. You can put Dave in the subject line. Just makes it easier for us to know you're asking for something mm-hmm. about this. All right. So
let's dive into the credit cards.
Yes. So credit cards. I
start with the similarities?
Sure.
Okay.
Dave and us, I don't know how you say that. None of us are huge proponents of everyone having credit cards and using them all the time.
No.
And I don't think Ramsey Solutions nor Walletone will probably ever come out with a co-branded credit card.
No.
Except on April Fool's Day. so we're similar here. Now, I'd say Dave, if he doesn't put forward an all-out ban, he nearly does.
No, he does. No credit cards ever.
Ever?
Ever, okay. Never, 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 never. He even has a warning on his website that if you're trying to pay with a credit card, you lack integrity and he doesn't want you to buy with it. I'm not kidding. I mean, hey, if that's his conviction and he's marked it clearly, he's marked it clearly, but it's unnecessarily far.
Yes.
And we'll talk a little bit about that, but also
I think it's an and some sort of an echo of Puritanism to go to such an extreme.
Sure. And we've seen this play out with lots of different things. I mean, and specifically Protestants fall prey to this probably a little bit more than Catholics because of, it's particularly in the United States, Puritanistic influences, Southern Baptist influences, you know, certain schools won't even allow people to dance because that's a sin. It not necessarily. I mean, as long as we're not bumping and grinding here with somebody who's not our spouse. I mean, if you're just doing like the waltz or you're doing some country swing, I mean, these are fine things, but sometimes you can take it to the extreme and come up with an unnecessary rule that is just rooted in, it's rooted in fear of the thing instead of having to come up with managing the thing with virtue. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm.
Fear-based instead of freedom-based.
Yes. Yes.
So, as you may have guessed, while we are not telling everybody to go get a credit card, we're not against credit cards.
You could use them. You could use one responsibly.
Yes, absolutely.
And we should talk about that. But we should also first talk about why is there so much controversy around some of these issues?
Sure. Like so,
specifically with credit card points and mm-hmm. whatnot.
Yeah, so we talk about there. I guess there's some of the different reasons why some folks would be against credit cards would be, one, believe all debt is bad. We've already established that there is a difference between the ways Dave and we see debt. And also Dave himself sees mortgages a little bit differently. So that one already is off the table. Two, there'd be maybe a question about how does one arrive... You've got your benefit of the credit card, which is one, you're pulling money forward, but again, it's a very expensive and poor way to do that, to use debt. So really, any positive view of a credit card would be, hey, check this out. You get the credit card, you buy the stuff, you get the points, you pay it off, you got free points. So, all right, let's look at that.
So yeah, using a credit card and actually paying interest is never a responsible way of using a credit card.
Don't do that ever. That's one of, and hopefully you would find this out before you get to that point, one of the ways you would see, maybe I shouldn't be using a credit card.
Yes.
Certainly for not right now, mm-hmm. If you are carrying a balance and paying interest. All right. So a question has come up where, okay, well, are you participating in evil might be a strong word to use here, but I guess that's what we need to avoid. So that's when we need to know if that's what it is or not. Are we participating in an evil by using a credit card and gaining a benefit from it, namely cash back or points or that kind of thing?
Flight miles.
And the concern here is that, well, where's the credit card getting that money to pay me those points?
A valid question.
Because if they weren't making any money off anything, they could give me even 2% back, because then they would just be losing money all the time. So how are they making money in order to give me some of it? Mm-hmm. And are they doing it in a bad way? So the way card companies make their money, there's sometimes fees paid by the cardholders, annual fees.
$95 to have this card every year.
Yes. Or you know, other fees of, you know, late pay, all the other fees you could have.
Sure.
So there's like the fees that they get money from. There's transaction fees paid each time there is a transaction.
By the merchant.
Yes. So if you use a card to buy something from WalletWin, we get 96.5% of that or something like that. Because 3.5% or something like that, I don't know, it varies, goes somewhere else.
The payment processor and Visa or Discover. It's chopped up among
a bunch
Express.
Of other people. The bank that made the card, the people whose name's on the card, the network the thing goes over. A lot of people have their hands in that little pocket. But that little pocket is used like a gajillion times a day. So even having a little bit of that pocket is a pretty good money-wise for them. Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's generating billions.
Oh, it's tons of
money. For credit card companies.
A teeny little bit a gajillion times over. Anyway, so there's that they get some money from. And then, of course, interest paid by people who aren't paying off their balance. Instead of getting the, you know, whatever, I don't know what their exact percentage is going to be, but instead of getting a percent of that transaction, now they're going to get 23% because you didn't pay it off. So those are all the different ways. And I think, though, I don't think that makes it immoral to have a credit card that you're paying off all the time.
It's remote enough.
I'd say it's quite remote.
It's remote enough to be able to still use a credit card under the following circumstances. You're creating a monthly budget. This is how you would prudently use one. Mm. You are creating a monthly budget. And then the expenses you're putting on the card are only things that you've already budgeted for.
And you have the money for.
You have the money for. And then you are paying it off in full at the end of every month.
Yes.
Those would pretty much be the only circumstances under which we would recommend it.
Yeah. And that's going to help you avoid getting into trouble with it, mm-hmm. right? Before we were married, some of that debt we talked about that we had when we got married was mine from beforehand using credit cards, because I used them because I didn't have the money. I wasn't trying to get points. I was trying to get dinner. So I'd use that, and then I paid it off when I got paid, but then I had less money to get through the next 2 weeks or whatever it was. So then I'd get to the credit card, and that just would happen sooner and sooner each time, and then I wasn't paying it off anymore. Mm-hmm. And then it's trouble.
So that's why it's essential to use it with a budget. Mm-hmm. But I would say this. So while I think it's morally permissible to use credit cards in this way, we should be aware of some other potential fallback and some negatives from using a credit card. Mm-hmm. Personally, are the Texeras putting everything possible on a credit card to max out rewards and points? No, we are not. We don't play that game really, because it can be complicated and we're all about the simplicity around here. And then there's just some other things that sometimes, I mean, these perks, they can be nice, but sometimes I find myself wondering, what if we just did away with all this and we just had cash and debit cards and just did away with all of these credit card companies, et cetera. I wonder what would happen because listen to this, the amount of fees that they're charging, who's really paying for this? You and I are. At the end of the day, we're paying for our own points. And here's how I know that. The 3% that people are, the merchants have to pay, they are not out of the goodness of their heart just going to do that. They are going to inflate their products even higher. They're going to build that cost into the goods that you are purchasing.
Or so, more and more these days, they just add it on at the end.
Right.
You'll see, oh yeah, an extra 3% because you're using a card.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. You're seeing that on receipts now too. Mm-hmm. You're being penalized for it. And I think I actually like that because if people saw that, they'd get ticked off and not want to do this anymore. Mm. This is a game ultimately that just benefits the credit card company in the end because it just makes everything more expensive. And if there really is a moral argument here, I wouldn't say it's that I'm other people that are irresponsible and not paying off their cards and I'm benefiting off of the interest they're paying. I would say the bigger thing we ought to be concerned about is that we just, all of us credit card users, and particularly most of the credit card users that are playing the points game and whatnot, they are higher income and they're just playing a game. They didn't need this, right? We all just made life more expensive for lower income people. That right there, I think, is the deeper rub. People that really needed things to cost the amount that they should be just had it jacked up 3% on everything in their life. And so people that are wealthier are making life more expensive for those who are poorer. And I think that is the real moral conundrum to consider.
Ooh.
And ought to be something, you know, that's a bigger battle than just using credit cards, but that is something to be considered.
Look. Out.
Anyway, just a thought.
I think that is a oof. And what I really like about that is instead of worrying about me, ooh, am I tainted by this? Am I unclean now?
By the credit card?
It's now instead of, well, what are, because really, if everybody else is doing what they're supposed to, then I wouldn't have a problem because they weren't getting taken advantage of by this company. But now it's, is my behavior harming someone else and particularly someone more vulnerable?
Mm-hmm.
So that's fantastic.
Again, I think it's remote enough where it's not your fault. But just because things aren't always our fault doesn't mean we can't start stirring the conversation to potentially solve or mitigate or relieve some of these issues that do kind of come up as a byproduct of something that was viewed positively initially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then had some fallout with it.
One other thing, though, to look at is when you use a card, you usually end up spending more than when you're using cash.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we feel this. You may have felt this, especially if you've ever done maybe that old cash envelope system or you've tried to just do cash on a particular vacation or whatever it was. When you make that payment, you are trading physical things, even though it's just money. You are giving that thing to the cashier or whatever, and then they are giving you the pizza or whatever it is back. So you feel the actual transaction.
Mm-hmm.
When I just swipe or tap or whatever my card, I take a thing out of my wallet, I touch it to a thing, and then I take the same thing. It's the same size. I didn't lose any of it. It goes right back in. So there, I don't really understand. I don't feel that there was a trade.
Mm-hmm.
Those numbers are just numbers floating around. They're just pixels on a screen. You don't feel it as much.
Until
maybe it's some other pixels on a screen with a big pay it up, pay it back button.
Negative balance.
Yeah, then you feel that. But this has been found. There's been some more and more studies over time that find that this is absolutely true.
Mm-hmm.
That when we use a card, and I'd say a debit card is removed.
It's one layer
removed.
And
then a credit card is even more removed because I swipe that and I still have money in my bank account.
Exactly.
So it's one more layer removed. And so each time you're removed from the money of that transaction, it's
more.
Just easier to spend because you don't feel it as much. Mm-hmm. You don't feel, ooh, the price like you do otherwise.
Yeah, actually, I looked up a study on this. And the average value of a cash transaction that they were studying was $22 compared to, I mean, I'm talking about the people buying the same amount, like they go into the store for the same reasons, compared to $112 for the average non-cash transaction.
No kidding. That's wild. And I remember the only stat I can remember is this back in the day one, it was like on buying aftermarket sports tickets,
like
I think.
StubHub or something.
That kind of an idea, but in like a controlled lab situation or whatever. And people who used like electronic payment and a card, they paid double. They were willing to pay double for tickets than what people using cash were willing to
pay. Yep. Right. And so I think what this points out, and I know a lot of people are might hate this and might dislike what I have to say here. If you are somebody who just loves the thrill of the game and you just want to play the points thing and you want to max it out and you want to, I know people like this. They've got a spreadsheet and they're thinking they can game the credit card companies. There might be a few of you out there who could actually pull that off. But most often, you're probably just breaking even. And instead of spending all that time scheming up the credit card stuff and figuring out how much you got to put on this one until you unlock the bonus, and then you start putting on this one so you can unlock that bonus. And what? Think about the time you had vested into this and your hourly rate. Come on, that matters alone. But then the amount of overspending you likely did in order to earn the bonus, even if you were spending budgeted for money. And I have noticed this even in our own life. I could have X amount budgeted for groceries. If I go to certain stores with cash or the debit card, that amount will last us all month. If I go to other certain stores and I'm just putting it on, I'll call it. If I go to Costco and I use the Costco card, we're going to have an entire week at the end of the month where we are putting together random meals because I have run out of grocery money. And we, because I just overspent. I'm not just going to add to the grocery budget, but we're just going to use up what we have in the freezer and in the pantry and in the fridge. For a week, it's going to get random and weird. And so right there, my own experiment, I don't need somebody to do a study. I already know that I had the money budgeted for. And I spent more of it when I used the Costco card. And I used less of it when I used the debit card. It isn't rocket science. I'm willing to take that in some areas of my life. But in most areas, I'm not. And I think other people aren't willing to acknowledge that you're probably just awash almost. If you're playing the credit card games, you're probably awash or slightly ahead, simply taking into account the overspending that you did. If you're okay with that, fine. But a lot of people aren't going to be okay with that and shouldn't be okay with that because their budget's really tight and they don't have money to kind of bleed out, if you will. And so it's not really a strategy that I would recommend to most people.
Well, there we go.
For those reasons. Bada bing, bada boom. Debt, bada debt, more debt.
Debt, debt, debt. Yes. We talked about, you know, instead of sin, it depends on how it's used. Is it productive? Is it unproductive?
One other thing on the, is debt a sin? And I don't think most people use this, but if you are putting things on a credit card with the intention to never pay it off, because and I'm just going to declare bankruptcy or I'm going to whatever. People do that and that is a sin. And that should
That's crazy, yeah.
That should be confessed.
That's definitely immoral.
Most people don't intend to do that. And so under those circumstances, no. But I did want to make sure I pointed that
That's
out.
That's good. That's good. Yes. Yeah, so we talked about being charitable and loving towards those who've made mistakes, others certainly, and yourself when maybe you've got a little bit of a mess to clean up. All right. We acknowledge the mess and then we get to work cleaning it up. We don't need to rub anybody's or our own noses in it. And then, of course, the credit cards and points, which we just talked about, how there's a lot more to consider when we want to look at, is this a great decision for me to make or not?
There you go.
So quite a lot. In some ways, not a lot of differences. In other ways, night and day differences between a Catholic perspective that we hold here at Wallet Win and what you'd hear from Dave Ramsey.
But there's still more. There's still more topics to uncover. And so we are going to continue this series. If you have questions, please let us know via email or leave us a voice message, and we will continue the Wallet Win versus Dave Ramsey podcast series on the Catholic Money Show in the next episode. Bye for now.